problem with it a lot of times is a lot of those things that we haven't cast onto him yet, we haven't cast them for a reason. They're hard to let go of. Yeah. They're too important for us to give to him.
I better take care of this.
Oh, God. I thought you
were. Well, the more important.
God, you don't have.
Seriously, yeah.
God saying, no, I'll take care of it for you. Which one would I rather have on the case? Me, the boys from Duncan, or God Almighty?
If the consequence of it not going the way we want it to is dire enough, then we can't trust God for that.
No, that's
which
right.
is comically stupid. I mean,
that's it. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
It's comically stupid. I like that. That's a better term than.
Right. Comically
that
stupid
might be a new,
pride.
New saying I got. I yeah. like that.
Comically stupid.
I am one right now.
If that shows up in a sermon,
hey, it will show up in a sermon. I promise you, this is comically stupid. To the state fair?
Yes.
That's nice. You ain't doing like a contest or nothing, are you?
No.
Jams and jellies, the time to enter and let the world in.
We're going.
They do jams and jellies at the fair. If not, if so,
well, yeah.
you got to be all over
I
that.
See,
I was going to enter the contest. Well, all I have is 1/4 of a pint. You can only enter if you have a 1/2 pint or a pint.
We'll make another pint. Make another
what now? What are we going to enter?
I was going to do the grape, blackberry, and strawberry.
So you need a 1/2 pint, and you've got 1/4 pint.
Yeah, that's how I make them. I do 1/2 pints here and there.
That wouldn't be that hard.
But it was.
It's milk. You just double the recipe.
triple the recipe.
He needs more grapes.
No, it's not that.
That's where you come in.
Yeah.
It's the same recipe. You just have to, I can get 2 jars versus one. Then that's why.
But this is for a contest.
I know, but I wasn't thinking about the contest.
This is for fame and notoriety.
And that's going to be next year.
Okay. This is for
they look for color, taste, presentation.
This is for all the marbles. I grew some sweet grapes for you.
You got them, and I got them.
I'm telling you, man.
I got them on one side.
Those grapes were just right.
When I get my jars, I've gotten 10 cases. I think 10 cases.
Back?
Yeah. But they might have been for 5 years or so.
I was going to say, but I bring you some all the time.
Yeah, but they're empty.
I can put a dollar in it.
Nuts or something.
Oh, man.
When we get there, you're loving your master's shirts here lately. You wore a master's shirt last week.
Did I really? Yeah, light green?
Think so.
Okay. Yeah. The dark green today?
Yeah. I've never seen.
Well, I'm going to play golf this weekend, so I'm excited. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting kind of loosened up.
What is your score? What average?
No, I'm not. I'm 100 plus, man. I'm a 6-time-a-year play golf guy.
Well, that's good. I mean,
I enjoy it.
Plus, it's good.
My son plays and plays a lot, and he's getting better.
Yeah,
he's breaking 80, right at 80 now. So he's
still liking really. The
loves his job. Loves his job.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a great gig, man. For a college graduate.
Well, he might not even go back to school.
No, I can already see the writing on the wall, Jack. He ain't going. If he and trooping on, this could be a job that eventually you could support yourself, and you know, might not be $400,000 a year by no means.
Well, only pastors get that.
That's right.
Yes, $400,000 a decade.
I mean, not all pastors, just the Southern Baptist Press.
Yeah,
according to his budget, the only pastors get that. I've never seen salaries like that.
My Lord. Here we go.
Kenny's come back trying to renegotiate.
Listen, let me tell you something. I caught so much grief with that from a couple of folks that knew they could get aggravate and pick. And even, you know who I'm talking about. That's always somebody ain't got no money, but he's got more than he's in a field that you make money. You just buy a truck and you make, put ELECTRICAL on it and you make money.
Buying $80,000, $100,000 truck.
Yeah. And then come over and gave me grief. I was like, man, I ain't listening to you.
And then he tells me, yeah, I got $15,000, but then I don't have any money. Then I get $15,000, then I'm down. I'm in a hole.
Well, he needs to hire an accountant.
Yeah.
I can relate to half of that cycle.
Yeah, for sure.
So I got a lot of stuff from Sunday. Welcome to the other 167.
Yeah, where we share how to walk through life outside of church.
That's right.
And still keep your testimony.
Sunday was I had a lot of questions and a lot of comments from your sermon Sunday. And that was, I didn't know where you were going to go with John 2
yeah.
exactly. But that was one I never even thought of that verse in some of the ways that you presented it and some of the points that you made
right. In
it. And I have a lot of, I looked down, so I'm running real low on notebook. So I got
it. I'm already, one. Yeah,
exactly. I'm already full one. And now I'm having to work it. Back through the backs and not
like
the backs
it.
On it. So
I dig it.
I was running out of space and I thought, man, this
one. We can get you a new one, man.
I do need to get a new one. I just haven't done it yet. But I wrote down a couple of just little thoughts that I had. They were just Garrettisms. They were just random thoughts that I had. But then there were a couple other things that you brought up. One thing that I'd never, it's always kind of seemed odd to me, I guess, between verse 4 and verse 5.
Okay.
There's just nothing there. There's right. No transition. She says we're out of wine. He says, what's that got to do with me? And she tells the servants, do whatever he says. And I'm thinking, there's got to be a lot more to that. The look he gave or a something. Yeah. Because, you know, if you watch The Chosen, there is one extra line in there that they say, you know, if not now, when or something, and that Jesus or
right.
Jesus says something else. So I always kind of, you know, wondered what happened between verse 4 and verse 5. Because she didn't react the way my mama would react if I told her it ain't my problem.
Yeah, ma'am.
And
ain't no we here.
Right. But one of the points I think you were making Sunday is that she didn't get an answer from him, but she still turned and told them, whatever he says, do it. Just that, and I just kind of wrote down in my notes, the answer is in that gap. She didn't have an answer to what his next step was going to be or his next instruction.
But she did what she was supposed to do. She took the burden of Christ, left it there.
She knew who he was.
Mm-hmm. She knows
so that was all she needed to know.
Right.
The fact that she knew who he was.
And she didn't know if he would or wouldn't.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. And you don't see her keep on pleading, come on, mm-hmm. Jesus, please, please, please. Because I think in a way she understood what Jesus was saying. Jesus wasn't just trying to be ugly to her. In fact, he wasn't. I think he was just wanting to make sure she understood that just because you gave birth to me, I got one higher than that, which is my heavenly father. And you just because you're my mama doesn't mean you tell me when to do miracles and you don't have an inside track, because you go a little bit later in John, you go a little bit, you'll see his brothers trying to do the same thing. Hey, it's the feast of the lights and it's time for you to go and reveal yourself. If you're going to be the Messiah, you know, and that they're doing it mockingly. If you're going to be the Messiah, you got to make yourself known, man.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it'll be when the Lord wants me to reveal. And at the same time, you know, I like the fact that he doesn't draw everybody. I mean, he could have drawn everybody's attention. Ladies and gentlemen, let me have your attention, please. We're almost out of wine, but watch what I'm going
to
do.
Well, that's something else that I'd never noticed or thought about with that passage, is that it was only a miracle to a handful of people there. The rest of them, most people, and it's not recorded in the other Gospels, maybe for that reason. John was one of the ones that saw it. Because I don't guess we're...
John any was written later.
None of the others that would have been there wrote a gospel.
Matthew
weren't there. But so it
Peter would have been, and Peter is Mark.
Mark.
Yeah, so yeah. Mark could, Peter could have, and Mark could have. But Luke was not, so...
Yeah.
Now, Luke interviewed Mary and many other witnesses, so...
Yeah.
There would have been some who could have told him about it.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that you brought up that I just never... There were a few things that I just never really thought about from that passage. One also, and this is... You didn't preach on this. It was just one of my random little thoughts here, but the part about, you know, when the waiter comes out and it says, you save the good wine to last. Going into maybe to Sunday, I was thinking through that passage a little bit and thinking how in a lot of scenarios, Jesus does give us, I hate to say it this way, it's not the right way to say it, but simplest way to say it is he does give us what we want sometimes, and then later he gives us what we need. Sometimes early in your walk, things may go, because you see both sides of the story, right? There are some people who their life's a mess. They come to Christ and snap, everything starts to work out perfectly
sometimes.
All of a sudden, sometimes. And then you have some that's not the way it goes.
And some wrestle with addiction or something else for the longest of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's others on the flip side of that may come to Christ at a difficult time, and it may stay difficult for a while, and then later on down the road, things start to come together a little bit more.
Right.
People may still fight their battles for some period of time, and you've kind of see both of those. But I'd never really thought of in the case with, I don't know if this is symbolic at all of it, but in some way, does the good wine represent Jesus? Because a lot of people ask the question, why do we ever have sin? Why do we ever have to fall? Why did we...
You know, struggles.
Why didn't God just make the world perfect to start with? Why didn't he just do that? And I just thought about that passage and waiting to serve the good wine till later, or waiting till the end.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that has anything to do with Jesus or not necessarily, but I just think about that and how he came long time after they expected him. Then he left, and everybody's been saying he's coming back for 2,000 years. He ain't back yet. You know, it's sometimes he tests your patience a little bit too, maybe. So yeah, just wondering if there's any.
I think if you want to draw a parallel, I mean, you might could draw a parallel with that. I don't think there's anything. So it's a good lesson to that life teaches us. I think there also is the pain that we struggle sometimes is going to be worth. Paul says this, these light momentary afflictions, well, sometimes they don't feel very light, nor do they feel momentary, but compared to eternity and what awaits us, oh, it's going to be glorious. And so I think there is kind of that, yeah, there's some struggle now here on earth, but then there's ultimately going to be the ultimate salvation, which Jesus is, that sign is towards that. And it's going to be one of joy and one of the best wine. You know, so I think there is some parallels you can take there. I chose not to go that way just because I knew I had a seminary professor that taught us in seminary, and what we had to do is we had to stand up in front of the class and preach. And so you're preaching to preachers, so they know it, and you're not going to be able to just make stuff up. And they're down there writing, and then at the end of your sermon, you got to give a 10-minute sermon, and it's timed. If it ain't exact, it's already a F. And then at the end of that 10 minutes, all these pastors are going to critique you. Well, one guy got up there, and he went to see it on basically a sub-point to a sub-point,
mm-hmm.
and he went to town on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Fresser just raked him over the coals and said, is that the main point of that text? And he said, no, sir, it's a sub-point. He said, well, I beg to differ. I think it's a sub-point to a sub-point. And then he began to do the outline. And then he said, I think the guy's name was Mr. Jones or something to that extent. The professor said, Mr. Jones, let me give you a word of advice. Just preach the main points of the Bible. And when you do all them, then come back and preach the subpoints. Then you can come back and preach the subpoints to the subpoints. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was one of those, let me get the main points. And yeah, I did hit on some subpoints Sunday. Case in point, I'm trying to think of a couple. Like, okay, Jesus was in the everyday of affairs. He went to a wedding. Well, I don't know that that necessarily tells me that he cares and he's in every one, but it does show that, hey, he's in our everyday events. So that's important, but it's not the main point of the text.
I don't have an outline from Sunday, but I think one of them was Jesus is approachable.
Yeah.
Jesus is available.
He's available. He's able. And he has authority.
Available. Not approachable. Yep. He's available, able, and has authority.
Yep. And then current applications.
Yeah. That's maybe been the main point that I've ever taken from the whole story in John 2, was just that he was in one of the first miracles recorded. I guess in a timeline, this was the first miracle ever recorded. It happens to be at a big social, basically a party, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not for lack of a better word, it's at a big social
wedding
function.
Party, yeah.
It's not in a temple. It's not among the priests. It's not wherever. It's in a common everyday kind of place. But then there were a lot of subpoints that I hadn't ever thought about. Just the faith of Mary in it too. And she never asked a question. That was another thing that I'd never really taken inventory of, but there was never a question or a request on her part. She said they ran out of wine.
Yeah.
That's it. She didn't ask
him to do
anything.
She didn't say, you got to do something.
Tell him what to do. She just said, they're out of wine. He said, what's that got to do with me?
Yeah.
She said, do whatever he says.
What's that between me and you?
That's right.
Like it says in the Greek.
Yeah. But there's a lot of simplicity, I guess. And this is somebody, Matt Abram, gave me a short little book about the crucifixion. I was reading through, and it spent an entire 20-page chapter talking about the darkness in the last 3 hours of Jesus on the cross. And a big point that it was making was that there's really not anything in Scripture about that. And I never thought about that before, but there's really not. It says it went dark and then it fast forward 3 hours.
Yeah.
But it found, 20 pages worth of stuff to talk about around that. And then Sunday, I kind of looked at that and thought, well, there's a big gap there too between her saying they're out of wine and telling them,
what's he going to do?
Sometimes there's a lot to be learned from what the Bible doesn't say also. And
that's
something I never really thought about.
That's exactly right.
It's hard to, and you gotta be careful with that, because I can turn that into an awful lot of what.
Well, and that's where you don't read into the text. Yeah. But case in point, the crucifixion is an excellent example of that. You read what the crucifixion, I think you've mentioned this, crucifixion maybe takes 15 verses, and he was crucified. Mm-hmm. It might take one.
Yeah,
there was so much more than that going on. And you had, imagine the sights and the sounds and the horror. And the screaming and just all that went on, he was crucified. Well, that's just three words, and it doesn't capture the. Mm. And so a lot of times it don't tell us everything we'd like to know, but it tells us everything we need to know.
We need to know, yeah.
Jenny, you gotten quiet since we started, stopped talking about.
No, I was just reading a lot here. I just think, and you probably hit on this. First of all, I'm amazed that you even got that far. John, you're cruising now.
Just had to get past John 1, man.
I mean,
all that theological stuff. I got to get past that.
Let's get to the stories.
You went down for a whole story.
Get me to the story.
That's the first thing.
I'm going for broke this Sunday.
I'm amazed.
What you got this Sunday?
Nicodemus, John 3. I'm going 1-21. I'm going to do it. We're going to do it again. Kind of, I like the way I've, like, John 2 flowed, that is, I don't have to go deep, just hit on the points, explain it, then go on to the next one.
I'll tell you what, if you're visiting church for the first time, you're getting a true Super Bowl event. You've got eight baptisms and John 3. Yeah. I mean, this is the...
Yeah, that's what I thought about. I said, man, what a day.
John 1, we were in there for, what, 6 months?
It was a mini-series.
It was a mini-series
in the series.
So I'm just really...
And I thought about making John 3 the next miniseries, because I think I could.
There's a lot on that one. But,
and I might. Yeah. I'm still reading through and thinking through, and I may make it a two-parter.
You can do that one. Yeah.
Very easily. I mean, first six verses, I could easily do it. And then definitely 8 through 14, 8 through 16. Man. So, yeah, that's a great verse. Old Nicky is a someone who depends upon his man. He's talking about a religious dude. He's it.
You know what I like about the turn the water into wine?
What's that?
Because nobody's ever done.
Nope.
And of course, nobody's ever walked on the water. His miracles, nobody's ever done. Nobody's ever seen it. Calming the storm, raising the dead. I mean, I know Elijah did it, but through God. But
not.
But he did it.
But
by his.
But you're right, and that especially the water to wine, things like that. That is just.
I mean, if you go through all the scriptures, it's pretty much. I wouldn't say all of them, because I don't know all of them, but I would say a lot of them nobody's ever done.
Yeah. And I think that's what I was kind of. I didn't necessarily get that as clear as that, but when I talked about atypical, man, this isn't something that normally happens. And then you know, Jesus didn't go and make mud and put mud on the pot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. As far as we know, the text doesn't tell us a thing other than, all right, now draw it out and go serve.
Yeah. That was another thing that I'd never thought about was the servants. I mean, they got to be scratching their heads. Fill up the water pots and now go serve it.
Yeah. Enough,
and like you said, you can get in a lot of trouble, I'm sure, for taking your boss water and saying, here you go, best wine of the night, you know.
And where did it change? Was it? Were they drawing wine out of the pot itself, or was it on the way to the head waiter, or was it when he took a swallow? I mean, I don't know.
I guess at some point you just got to trust.
That's it.
That might be what he's trying to say.
Well, and here's
and that's what they did. I mean, they had to be obedient too. Mary says, whatever he says, do. They had to be trusting of that. They'd be like,
man. I don't know if you hit on that, but at some point in time, you have to trust. There's nothing else you can do.
Interesting point on that. So Mary gets an exemption from this because she was, at this point in time, the only person on the planet who could possibly know beyond a shadow of a doubt who he was. Because she's the only one who 100% knew that he was
born a virgin.
Okay, right?
Yeah, I'll give you
so
that.
So she knows
and
that.
And Joseph had a good answer.
Joseph, I think, would be but number now, two, but he didn't know 100%.
By the time we get to John 2, Joseph isn't in the picture. More than
you made that
comment
on Sunday that there's a more than likely he's passed at that point.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, you know, Mary knew who Jesus was. The servants certainly didn't, and nobody else there certainly knew who he was. Now I say that to say this: what you just said, we just need to trust him. They had no reason to trust him yet. We have all the reason in the world to trust him.
Yep.
How much do we still struggle with it?
Yeah, I get that. I mean, even his five disciples that had bought into, okay, this guy must have something going on. But yet there were, verse 11 says, that's when they really began to believe in him, because they were now seeing it for the first time live and in color. They were beginning to see John 1:14. We beheld his glory. They're beginning to see his glory.
So in some of the, because I kind of forget the end of John 1. You didn't preach on that.
Right.
In 6 weeks, you only preached on 1:18. But the first disciples, what you counted that.
At this time in John 2, you may have 5 or 6.
Okay.
You'd have Peter and Andrew,
John and James.
All right, then you had Nathaniel,
mm-hmm.
which he's in.
Who was
John
one of John
1.
The Baptist's mm-hmm. original.
Well, actually, you had the one who took the person to Nathaniel. So I'm trying to think which one it was. So you 6 is what you would put it at. It wasn't the other 12, because later is going to come the calling of Matthew, and later is going to come the calling of those.
Right.
So you're looking at most 6.
But now in the other Gospels, I want to say, just off of memory, that Peter and Andrew's beginning to follow Jesus came after the fish, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep, yep.
Okay. So it's possible that they had already seen a miracle before this.
More likely, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
Right.
And Andrew in a way, brought Peter.
Peter, right.
Did Andrew have a part with, Nathaniel? I thought maybe.
Well, I'm going to look and see. I can't remember which one it was, but.
You see what I'm saying, though? In one of the Gospels,
John.
In one of the Gospels, they followed him immediately after they caught a bunch of fish. And then in this one, they're already following him, but I don't think John 1 talks about the fish. So we don't know, I don't think, chronologically, which happened first.
Right. So Nathaniel and Philip came together.
No, was it Philip?
Yeah.
Okay.
Philip brought Jesus to Nathanael, and Nathanael was under the tree. And he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." And that right there said, "Man, how do you know that?" That's what I was thinking in my life, or might have been what he was pondering.
Mm-hmm.
But then he told, "If you think that's something, wait till you see what's going to happen, big man."
Right.
So if you want to give Philip, we're not talking about the full 12, but they're novices. They are just starting. We're just in John 2. So that's what I was getting at. He's able to provide for those needs of those novice disciples.
Mm-hmm.
All they know is there's something different about this guy.
Yeah.
Maybe they've heard something. Maybe they've heard him teach. But man, now they're seeing, whoa, he just turned, 150 gallons of water into wine.
Do you have any idea how much wine they would have had to start with for the wedding? I mean, 150 gallons sounds like a lot. They might have 300
like a ton
to start with.
Sounds like a lot.
I don't know how big party.
Unless it's Bonnie Sue's family.
That was funny. That was hilarious.
I would have more fun with that. As I was putting that together, I was like, this couple don't even have a name. It's Billy Joe and Bobby Sue.
Yeah.
And Bobby Sue's family is going to be drinking a lot more than they need to. I told you we're going to need to invite that uncle of yours.
That was funny.
But as far as how much it would have been, I don't know. I mean, you stop and think, if it's got a week-long celebration.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
And these folks, I don't even know how much you'd have to have.
Well, because you mentioned, the reason I bring it up is that you talked about how when he provides, there's leftovers.
It's copious.
Right, copious. You had to make that one up. You're not making it up. You had to borrow.
I got so many folks who gave me grief about that.
So at least you learned
copious.
A new word. I didn't know what it was. But, I don't know. I mean, 150 gallons of wine. That's an awful lot. And I went to ECU.
Yeah.
That'd be a long way to ECU.
I don't know. That's a Halloween night.
That'll keep the party going for a while. But I don't know how much it, how much was that relative to what their need
I'm
was.
I'm sure that would have been a bunch.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think it would be.
Yeah. Because it doesn't really say how, you've got to really do some digging into the, study Bible or something like that to get into some of what these terms mean.
Yeah.
A pot or whatever it's called.
A stone pot, ceremonial washing pot.
Yeah.
And most people would think it would be about 30 to 50 gallons. So, if they got lifting babies, I don't know that you'd want them more than about 30 gallons. Because what's a gallon of water weigh? 8 pounds.
124 ounces.
Is that right?
Sounds right.
All I know is a 5-gallon bucket's about 40 pounds of water.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about feathers and stuff.
let's not confuse.
Yeah. versus 5 pounds of bread might be not be as heavy. I still got your picture on my desk, man. Earth Shear and Hurricanes.
You still got that one?
Yes, I'm gonna frame it.
That was good.
You know
what? Oh yeah, I do. I was trying to think.
But go ahead.
One of the other things you said, this is not related to one of the other things that you kept saying Sunday that got me thinking or just laughing a lot was that this isn't a Sunday hobby. And I wrote down, I don't know if you know this guy or not, but if you watch golf on TV, you know Kevin Kisner, your golf commentator. So you ever see him? He's from South Carolina, and he's about my age. So when I was playing a lot of junior golf, he was about, we never played with each other, but I always saw his name a lot. So I remember him way back. He's funny, though.
Yeah.
And he's got a bunch of stuff on YouTube where he's showing off for his friends and doing all that. And one of his, I don't remember what it was, but he hits a ball, like, over his house into a swimming pool blind or something. And they're all ooing and aahing. And he goes, this ain't no hobby. Yeah. You know? Yeah. But I thought about that one a lot. You kept saying, this ain't no Sunday hobby.
Yeah.
But I just
And I think that's very important to remember is, look, Christ is more than just going to church on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's more than just words on a page.
Yeah.
No, he's the living Son of God. He is the living Word, and he is our life. And I think that's, you know, it's always good to be reminded that this isn't just a Sunday hobby I do. I go to church and check it off. Because if it is, man, you're missing the joy. You're missing the life that he came to give.
Well, and there's, you know, Sunday was a more, it probably hit me in personal ways more than I'd get into right here, but it is easy to put God in a box and look at a situation or a circumstance and say, this isn't happening the way it should, or this isn't happening the way I want it to. You need to move like this, God.
Right. So I tell him what to do.
Come up with a roadmap of what it's supposed to look like. And it's so, so easy to forget that he's not bound by our rules. You know? I mean, that's the most obvious thing in the world to say. But God's not bound by our rules.
That's right.
You can't just snap your – he didn't even snap his fingers to turn the water into water.
No, we don't know what he did.
Right. When the part that I was reading from the resurrection, the book that Matt showed me or gave me, there's not a scientifically explainable way that the sun can disappear for 3 hours without disrupting the planet in a big, big way. But if God wants that to happen, that's exactly what he can do.
Or the sun to stand still while the children of Israel fight.
Yeah, whatever. If he wants it to happen, we could sit there and say, how could he do that? Well, to him, it's like,
I can do it.
That's right.
That's right.
But in our world, and our, you know, through our lens, we can look at a situation and say, this is impossible. I don't see any way that this is going to work out, or I don't see any way this is going to end well, or I don't see any way he could be doing anything good in this situation.
Yep.
And to him, he's just thinking, you don't know me then, you know, because to him, he can do anything he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, and a lot of times it's just as simple as believing that. And you know, we can say we believe it, and we believe in church, and we believe it, and we know we're supposed to say we believe it and all that stuff. But when you get faced with a situation where you have to believe it, it might shake you up a little bit to find out that it's easier to say you believe it than to believe it when you have to.
Yep. So what you're saying is,
I don't know what I'm saying. Hopefully, you can decode it.
Kenny's about to nail it.
What you're saying is, you believe in God created heavens and the earth by his voice. You believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. But when it comes to something affecting you very personal, that's when your faith wavers.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's, yeah, that's when it gets
tested. That's when it gets tested, yeah.
Yeah.
You believe all these things. And the question is, if you believe all these things, why couldn't he help you in a situation?
Why have I got struck?
Because it's personal.
Yeah.
We're in it. And it's just when you read the Bible, like the children of Israel, we see it. We see the beginning and the end. And we're thinking, man, y'all got to be crazy.
Yeah.
But they're living it. And so we tend to look down on the children of Israel coming out of Egypt because, but you know, God can help you on that. But when you're living it, it's completely different. And I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
go ahead, you can finish it up.
Well, I kind of brought it out a little bit. You know, Mary instructs the servants, whatever he says, do. Don't she not have a promise of what he's going to do? But whatever he does, just go ahead and knock it out.
Yep.
Do what he says. Well, what is it he says that we should do when it comes time for a that we have burdens, we have troubles, we have struggles? First, we need to go to him. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Then we need to cast our cares upon him. Go to him, but then cast your cares upon him, 1 Peter 5:7. But then comes the hard part. Then you trust that he's going to work all things together for good. Doesn't mean he works all things together perfectly,
right?
But he's going to work that stinky situation to the point of he gets glory somehow, some way. That's the hard part of trust. I can trust him for my sins and being forgiven. I don't know why that's so much easier. That somehow eternal salvation is easier to believe somebody than I don't know if I can let go of this problem right here.
Yeah,
and I get that. You do.
I don't. My eternity.
No, I mean,
versus.
I get. We're worried about that.
Okay.
I understand what.
Yeah.
You're worried about that. I mean, I think all of us are. It's that current situation, and it might be how we this our society that we really don't really have to rely on God a whole lot.
Mm.
We should, but we have so many things at our disposal. You hungry? Let's go to McDonald's. Or,
yeah.
You know, some countries, they have to completely rely on God and have to exercise that faith. We don't have to exercise our faith as much. And maybe that's one reason why we have problems, because if you want light, just go get the switch on.
Yeah.
Some people have to build a fire. You know, some people have to really rely on God for their day-to-day. And I think when you exercise your faith, as you exercise your faith more and more, you build that muscle. And I'm not talking about anybody else. I'm talking about myself. I don't exercise my faith as much as that type of trusting faith as much as I should, because I'm not in a situation where I have to. I wish I was. I mean, I should be.
Yeah.
But just where I live and the country that I live in, everything's pretty much at your disposal.
Yeah.
So we end up trusting ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. That's a bad thing spiritually. But if it's a good thing for us physically, you know, if you're out of the world, that's a great thing. You can go afford a car. But for living for God, that can be a bad thing. I don't know if I made that clear.
Well, if you don't exercise a muscle for some period of time, it's going to get weak. And when you are in a situation where, you know, you've been... I'm trying to keep the exercise analogy alive here, so I don't know how to tie this together. But when you've been blessed in your life to the point that you don't have to rely on faith, you really don't get as much of an opportunity to exercise it. And you've got to really challenge yourself spiritually to remember how dependent you are on every.
Yeah.
I mean, anything that starts to go right, and I've had this happen a few times where something starts to go right, it can get taken back away really quickly. Was that?
Because I haven't had many to go right, but
I've had some start to. And then about as soon as they start to,
I'm unlucky.
Yeah. Well, then mine, as soon as they start to go right, it gets taken back right back away. And it's a real quick reminder that it's not you that's doing it. And, you know, I've tried real hard when I have had something going my way to not forget the blesser and that it's not anything that I did and that it can go away in a hurry. But if things are going your way or following your way for a while, it can be real easy to. Because you're not praying for things. Now, you need to be remembering to pray gratitude and exercise the gratitude muscle. Maybe it's one of the other, it's leg day or arm day, right? You're either going to get to exercise the faith muscle or the gratitude muscle sometimes. And sometimes
it might
be
both.
Back and forth. Yeah.
And I don't know. A lot of people say, well, I've been blessed. Mm-hmm. They really talk about material things. I'm thinking, really? Have you really been blessed? Have you really been able to trust God? I think a lot of people... I know this is going to sound kind of different, but I think the blessed people are the ones that had to rely on God.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are the ones blessed. We didn't have to exercise our faith as much as they did. And I think being blessed is when you can rely on your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people from other countries that were just like, wow. You know, they don't have nothing, but yet God provides. But we think about having 20 cars, a trailer, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do, that's right.
Well,
truck. Humility is dependence.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really, if you want to measure your humility, just take a look at how dependent upon you are you upon God.
Yeah.
And not just lip service. It's easy to say, man. No, I'm talking about how dependent are you upon God? And that goes for your ministry. It goes for your personal blessings. It goes to say, God, I know, hey, I get up and go to work every day. But God, you're the one who gave me the strength to get up out of bed. You give me the strength to be able to, you give me the ability to crunch numbers for millionaires so that I can get paid like a millionaire.
Okay, I get that. No, I'm spraying it back at him.
but
you give me the ability to be such a great pastor that I can warrant a $400,000 a year salary.
I got that. So
it's one of, it's one of doing that. That it's like you realize. But here's the thing: we can give that lip service, but oftentimes we find ourselves going into autopilot. And that's where, to me, I think we find, and that's just as bad. That's a prideful autopilot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to give it lip service. No, how dependent are you truly? Because I think I shared this. If I didn't, I'm sorry. I shared it with somebody, and it might have been right here. Did I share it last Sunday before I got up to preach? I mean, I had a feeling of that I had to just sit down and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And just, that was from the enemy, and I'm not giving that a second thought.
I don't remember that.
What were your problems?
Well, it was two weeks ago. We had a pretty large crowd in here. It was about 320, 316, 6-7. Anyway, it was, we had a good crowd, and it was during the time of greeting. And I don't know if it was the enemy that, oh man, look how many people are here. And I don't know that my mind went to, they're here to hear me. And that's when I said, they're not here to hear you, son. Mm-hmm. And I had to really get down on myself and say, Lord, that is not from me. I don't know if that came from the enemy or that was a temptation, but I can go ahead and say, Lord, that is not my heart. It's not there. I got nothing to share that's going to be worth hearing, versus the Lord does. And the Lord thankfully uses us, but man, it's not you to come into here, Jack.
Yeah.
And I had to remind myself that because no. I'm an average guy with an average pastor that can't hardly string two sentences together without there being some grammatical error.
Yeah. Well, I really get your profession. It's hard for you to stay humble.
You don't know how people come and tell you, man, that was a great message. Oh, you, but they come to the church and we're ready to join because, man, you preach the truth.
Preach a good sermon.
And I'm like, stop.
And I tried to keep you humble the best I can.
I'm trying myself too.
No.
Just stay married. that does a good job.
Yeah.
Does a real good job.
Renee
is one of the best at that.
I know. My wife's getting on me about a haircut.
Yeah.
I just paid for two. I thought,
you know, I got to get one myself.
Yeah. We'll pay $40. And
they give a group discount because I need one too.
I can't swing your.
Yeah, one. But it gives you, you don't have to get one for 6 months.
Yeah. Well, no, $40. I can't go that low. I can't go that short.
Really?
No. I gotta keep up.
Well, I mean,
I don't cut mine, but like twice a year. Yeah. But I cut it really short.
Yeah, I gotta
you
keep
just mine. I paid the first one before was $25. Well, the next haircut that I got from the same person, I paid $40. It got mixed up the tip.
Didn't it?
But she told me that.
Oh, I was. Thanks,
yeah, man. The more you pay, the slower your hair grows.
Oh really?
I believe it.
Yeah. I ain't going. I think I can get one more week.
Might be lying to me.
But if you watch, I was messing with my earphones because I think I got too much hair around my ears that it doesn't fit my microphone anymore. But one of the points is, man, it is so easy, and it doesn't have to be a pastor.
I know.
It can be anything that we can begin to get pride in our lives. Very, very easy. Pride is a subtle creeper. It just sneaks its way in. And it may not be, he's a pompous, arrogant jerk. Mm. No, it can be just the little things of, some of the ways to measure, okay, are you truly prideful or not, is are you finding yourself always having to defend yourself? If so, that's probably a measure of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a hard time saying you're sorry? If so, then that's a measure of pride.
I have enough pride. You don't have to keep going. I mean, yeah, that's
We get it.
He's 2 for 2 and we're good. Yeah. We don't need to keep going.
But I understand you want to be complimented.
Yeah.
But that I'm doing,
and it
I'm
never
doing
hurts
the right
to be.
Thing.
It's always nice to encourage somebody. Yes. I want to encourage you.
Yeah.
At the same time, don't let that encouragement become so much so that,
that you're
your
looking
head.
For.
And I think it goes back. There's something else to being, okay, I want to be the best that I can be without being confident in myself.
Yeah.
I want to be the best that I can be by being confident in Christ. Yeah. And there's a big difference between the two.
Yeah.
Because I can be the best I can be. And if I think I did it, then holy cow, what a big head.
Now you probably in your profession, you probably do have to fight pride more than
I think just about everywhere, but the pastors do.
Human nature is going to make it, no matter what you do or even how good you are at it, we're going to find a way to find pride.
Sure.
If we want to. I mean, it's going to happen.
We're self-centered.
Right.
And we don't clothe ourselves with humility, which First Peter tells us to do.
Which,
and I think that's one of the keys.
And the answer to that one goes back to what we talked about last week.
I thought you were going to say something. You faced that up.
No.
Like you had a good joke. I was like, wow.
I had no joke because I'm guilty of it.
Oh.
Two things.
That's enough.
The thing that
we get it.
He had a whole bullet list, I think we only got 2 in for the way you can check for pride.
He done shut me down.
Yeah, he shot you down after 2. Do you need to leave the room for him to finish for anybody else? Or?
Well, no, he got me.
Well, there's several places. It's easy.
I mean, everything you said. Yeah.
Getting down on yourself can be a form of pride. There's a lot of different ways you can.
Yeah, there's false pride. We are such a twisted, sick heart. The heart is deceptively wicked above all things. And I don't know that we've ever plummeted the depths of the darkness in our heart because of how we can twist pride and twist. Even we try to be false modest, and that's a form of pride, or false. Even finicky nice we try to be, and that's a false love. I mean, we can fool ourselves and fool others, but we don't fool God. And I think it's one of being real before Him.
Good to see you. No, it's not.
Yeah. How you doing?
Yeah, that's just care. Being polite.
Don't care how you're doing. I'm just asking.
Right, yeah.
Are you really going to tell me?
Yeah.
What you mean?
Yeah. I'm real bad to do that. People ask me how I'm doing, especially like at a gas station.
Good.
I'm real bad to tell them the truth if it's a bad day.
Both of you are just as lying, just as...
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I've had people ask me at the gas station, how you doing today? I said, I'll be honest with you, terrible, but thanks for asking.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I
like that part.
I don't do it often, but occasionally, if I'm just having that kind of day,
I ain't gonna lie to you.
Just go ahead and tell you.
I ain't going to lie. It stinks.
Yeah, well, you can gas station, somebody wants to come up and give me $5 because they're out of gas.
$5, yep.
Yeah. Every time. I turn those guys away.
Speaking of gas,
I think I share that up here at Fuquay. The guy hit me up for $5.
Is it Sheets? I get hit on.
No, it wasn't Sheets. It was the Exxon up here.
Okay.
And he tickled me. He hit me up. He said, "Man, you got $5?" And I was like, "Man, I really didn't have much.
I don't have cash anyway. I'm not lying."
And he said, "I ain't gonna lie to you." He said, "My mother-in-law is a blankety blank, and I need something to drink." all I could do was, I busted out laughing like, "Man, that's the best excuse I've ever heard in my life. My mother-in-law is a something or another." And that got me. I was like, "Man, that's a way to go about it, I reckon. My mother-in-law is something."
All right, I'm sidetracked now. So I've got two things. No, you're good.
We've been around this today, man. We're on a roll.
Took us a while to get revved up. What's we got going, man? Two things. I want to button up one thing from just now. We're talking about a lot of what we've been talking about right there is material needs. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there are people who are blessed in the material sense, and you might look at it and say it's harder for them to exercise the faith muscle. But it's not just Jesus doesn't say, cast all your material needs unto me. It's all your cares unto me. I know people that are plenty blessed on the material side, but they're struggling in other areas, a lot of different other areas. And they're asking for prayers. It could be family members. It could be relationships. It can be health. There's a lot of different things that are not necessarily going to be material. So even if you are blessed in one area, that might be an opportunity for you to get pride in that area, or an opportunity to forget about the Lord in one area. But
nobody is exempt from cares. Everybody's got cares. Everybody's got something that is, and whatever it is that's keeping you up at night, whatever it is that's worrying you, whatever it is that, you know, you're having a hard time giving to him, that's what you have. That everybody has an opportunity to exercise that faith muscle somewhere. The problem with it a lot of times is a lot of those things that we haven't cast onto him yet, we haven't cast them for a reason. They're hard to let go of. We're holding on to them because they're too important for us to give to him, you know, or it's something that we think is too big for him or whatever. So
I better handle this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Silliest thing. I mean, think about that logic. I better take care of this.
Oh, God. I thought you were.
Well, the more important.
God, you don't have.
Seriously, yeah.
I thought you were going to say, I'll handle this.
I didn't.
No.
That's what I thought to start with, too.
No, I'm just talking about. Think about the irrationality of, I can take care of this. God, let me handle this one. Versus God saying, no, I'll take care of it for you if you'll just give it to me. And which one would I rather have on the case? Me? Boys from Duncan? Or God Almighty?
Well, and that's the thing. My experience with this has been the more important it is, the harder it is to give to him.
Exactly.
Sure, I can handle praying for my neighbor.
That's better, RC.
Yeah,
pride.
I can. Yeah. But when it comes to something that's really important,
personal.
Yeah, or more personal.
More personal, yes.
If the consequence of it not going the way we want it to is dire enough, then we can't trust God with that.
No, that's right.
Which is comically stupid. I mean,
that's it. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
It's comically stupid. I like that. That's a better term than.
This is too big
a irrationality of it.
Yeah. It's just too important to let God handle. It's
irrationally stupid.
Yeah. But
comically stupid.
Comically stupid.
I like that.
There you go.
Right.
Comically stupid
new,
pride.
New saying I got. I like that.
Comically stupid.
I ain't right that now.
If that shows up in a sermon,
I promise you, this is comically stupid.
I wanted to talk something that you're talking about being real, going to the Lord and being genuine in your prayers. And that's something that, you know, I tend to be pretty honest with the Lord as much as I can be.
Now, there are times. I admire that because I know you do.
There are times that I'm.
As it can be.
Well, there are times that I even have caught myself lying to him and not realized it. You know what I mean? Like you might say something and then you think,
did I really mean
it? I think that was lip service. And and I think a lot of that's him calling you out on it as you're doing it. But I've noticed something. I mentioned this on a Zoom Bible study the other night with those guys. I've started to notice there's some things I've been praying for so daggone long. I've ran out of different ways to say them. Right. You know what I mean? It's I try to spice it up and not say the same thing over and over and over again, but running out of different ways to say it. But I do catch myself sometimes that I'll say something and I'll realize either that wasn't the right thing to say, or I didn't say it with the right amount of reverence, or I didn't say it with the right amount of humility, or I didn't even mean what I said,
Did you really mean it?
Yeah, did I really mean it? There's so many different ways that I'll catch myself in that, and I can't help but think and notice that that's a little bit of God reshaping your prayer life, in that say what you mean. He'll tell you if what you meant was not the right thing to say. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we're not going to get every prayer spot on right. We're not always going to say it exactly the way we should.
And it's not always about the words.
Right.
It's about the heart.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the best prayers I prayed is not necessarily me talking. It is my mind just thinking about, Lord, your will be done. Lord, I don't even know what to do here. Lord. And I think it goes back to, one, that dependence we talked about. But I think it also goes back to, you know, and I'll just say this. How many ways can you say, give us this day our daily bread? Mm-hmm. Lord, I need you to take care of my meals. Lord, I need you to provide. Okay, there aren't but so many ways you're going to be able to say that.
Right.
So that when he talks about vain repetition words, it's not necessarily words that are... You say the same thing. It's words without no heart behind it.
Right.
That you're just
autopilot.
I think about I can't tell you how many ball teams I've played on or been a chaplain for, and they do the Lord's Prayer, and it is so fast and so and I'm like, y'all aren't even thinking about the words.
Yeah.
You know, this is not doing us much good here. But think about what you're saying. Think about what it means, and are you really meaning it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what God's looking at when it comes to the bye. I mean, we can babble. I don't think you want that.
I don't know. I have this written down in my notes from a couple of weeks ago, and I never got to it, and maybe this is as good a place as any to bring it up. But Gabe's been doing something here lately that I think is kind of cute in a way, but it's also terribly
like misguided, but there's something that he wants that he's probably not going to get. It's a game he wants to play.
I thought this might be a date with the girl.
That too. That's a separate. He single-handedly derailed about 30 minutes Bible study last week.
Right.
Because as I'm getting ready, okay, sorry, Gabe, if you hear this, I'm going to talk about you again. But we're getting ready Tuesday night last week for Bible study, and Gabe says he wants to go on a walk. I was like, okay. He said, do you mind if I go on a walk? I said, okay, just take your phone with you. Yeah. So he leaves for a while. He's gone for like an hour. He comes back and he said, do you know why I was gone for so long? And I said, no. And he said, I wanted to go pray. I was like, okay. I mean, that's cool. You know, he said, you know what I was praying about? I said, I can guess.
Yes.
I think I have an idea. But anyway, he says that he's been dreaming.
What's her name?
Yeah, exactly. He said, I've had a dream about her several times.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's God like showing me a sign that, you know, we're meant to be together? I said, I think it's a sign that you're thinking about her too much. And that,
yeah,
you know,
I was going to say.
I think it's kind of like when you said the other day that you fell asleep watching football or dreamed about football or something. And that, you know, you realize maybe you've been watching too much football. But anyway, so he asked, I said, I don't know the answer to that. I said, but I will ask. I said, I'm getting ready to hop on Bible study. I'll ask all the men on there what they think.
Yeah.
Well, that turned into like a 30-minute conversation on the Bible study that I did not mean to get those boys welled up.
No, it don't take much with that.
Yeah, but
that group will go and go and go and go.
We didn't get to the scripture we were working on till like 7 o'clock.
Golly,
so my bad there. But but a different thing that he won't, and he's not going to get this. Gabe, if you listen, here's your secret. I'm going to tell you right now. The secret is you're not going to get it, but you can keep trying because it's a game that he wants to play, and it's a game you don't need to play. It's a bad. It's got a bad rating. There's a bunch of bad stuff in it. Everybody's told me you don't need to play this
game. Oh, okay.
And he's trying to talk me and his mom into letting him have it. Well, his mom's already told him no.
Yeah.
He's come to me and said, can you talk her into it? I said, I don't think I disagree with her, much less, you know.
She's right on this one.
Right. And he says, but let me back up, actually. I forgot this part. The way I figured it out is, one day he comes to me, he says, like, where's the toilet brush at to clean the toilet? I'm like, why are you cleaning the toilet?
Yeah, that's kind of...
And then he starts putting away laundry, he starts doing all this stuff. And I finally said, Gabe, I appreciate all the help. I really do.
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah. And he said, well, I'm trying to show that I'm mature. And I said, okay, why? And he said, I just want to show you that I'm mature.
Because the game...
I said, I know. Because the game he's playing is rated mature.
For mature. Yeah.
And he's trying to prove it. And he said that he's looked it up on YouTube, and everything on YouTube says that it's okay to play it when you're 13 as long as you're mature enough to know that the stuff in the game, some of it's not appropriate.
GTA?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. There you go, Gabe. See, Pastor Ben even knows without me telling him that you can't play this game.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I did hit him with this one time. He said, because he kept on me that. I said, do you think Jesus wants you playing it?
Yeah.
I said, do you think Pastor Ben would tell you to play it?
Yeah.
He said,
Would you play it with him in the room?
That's right. That's right. But anyway, but he just keeps trying to earn mature points. And he finally said, how many mature points do I need to prove? I said,
758.
I said, 17 million. I just picked a number. He said, how many mature points did I get for putting the laundry away? I said, 5.
Yeah.
He said, how many do I need to get the game? I said, 17 million. He said, I'm never going to get that.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, well, that's the point.
Yeah.
And finally, he just keeps at it and keeps at it. And I finally told him the other day, I said, here's the deal, Gabe. I said, I don't know if you're going to get the game or not. At that, I still, you know, I'm not thinking too much about it. The game don't even come out till next May, right? I said, you just keep doing what you're doing for right now, and we'll see what happens. I said, but I'm going to tell you right now, there's a good chance you're not going to get to play it. And second of all, I said, I want you to understand, you keep doing all these things that you're doing. I want you to do those things. But at the end of the day, whether or not you get the game or not is up to me. It ain't up to you because you're not earning $17 million unless I decide to change the scoring system somehow. You know you're not going to get that. So quit trying to think you're going to do something that's going to earn. Now, that's a terrible example of grace, I suppose. But I think a lot of times we look at the things that we want from God and we try to find ways to earn enough brownie points and earn enough prayer points and earn enough things that we finally earn his grace. At the end of the day, he decides to give it to you or he doesn't.
And you're not earning it.
And he's going to decide, just like me with GTA, he's going to make that decision based on what's best for you, not based on how bad you want it.
That's right.
So as misguided as his little game is, it was a nice little lesson because I probably try to earn a lot of GTAs
from
God because I want them. Why wouldn't he want me to be happy?
Yeah.
And
earn GTA.
Yeah, I'm trying to earn my 17 million GTA points. But anyway, I love the way the kids show me my flaws.
It's a video game.
I didn't realize because it was out when I was a kid, but it wasn't so bad then. But somebody was telling me about all the stuff that's in it now.
No, I don't shoot video games. I got one game I play. It's called Retro Football.
Retro Bowl?
Yeah. Retro Bowl.
Yeah.
It's like that was Tecmo like Bowl 60s.
Yeah.
64.
NES? Nintendo?
No, it's on my iPad.
Okay.
But it's pretty cool. I get to be, right now I'm ECU. I was App State and won the national title several times.
Now, is it actually licensed to use the real teams, or is it?
No, it's real teams.
Okay.
Colors and everything.
Okay.
Now, you draft players, but they're not real players. They just make up names.
Yeah.
And you every 4 years, your team resets, or every 3 years, because if a kid's junior and transfers or goes to the pros. It's cool. It's cool. I love it.
That was when I used to play the heck out of some college football when I was in college.
Like
Madden or the NCAA.
CFP, I remember that.
I was good at that stuff.
No, I wasn't good at that one, but I could play Tecmo Bowl. But then again, that was just basically hand the ball to the man.
Yeah. I don't do a whole lot of games on my phone, and mainly because the kids are on their phones so much, I don't want to be sitting there telling them to get off their phones while I'm playing on mine.
Yes, so that's it.
I've had to.
I get so much grief. And you know the thing of it is there is a select group of teenagers. More and more teenagers are realizing, and I know you're probably saying it ain't my kids, but there is a little underswelling of kids that are kind of getting tired of the. They're starting to see the ugliness of all the apps and all the that they're beginning to say, I don't need it as much in my life. Yeah. Some of them are even saying, give me a flip phone. I don't know. I hadn't seen any of them in Fuquay, but I've heard there's some kids that are beginning to realize, man, I don't need that thing in my life so much.
Well, no joke. I seriously I've changed my notification settings on my phone so that from like 8 a.m. to 10 p.m.
There you go.
Almost very few things will actually alert me.
Yeah.
And I've intentionally put certain apps as far back in the back so that if I can't delete them, they're apps that I have to use occasionally, Facebook and Instagram. I have to do them some for work. And I'm not going to delete them all together because once in a while, that's the only way people can reach you. And
sure, you need it, especially business.
But at the same time, as much as I hate it, I'll still catch myself sometimes going to it and spending 20 minutes. And all it does is make
dance scrolling.
Yeah. So I've got to a point now where somebody made a comment to me the other day. I sent them a screenshot of something and they said, yeah, it looks like you spend a lot of time on YouTube. I said, well, that's mostly work. I spend a lot of time
doing things on YouTube. You do.
But outside of that, Facebook and Instagram and all the other, that's the only two that I ever really use. But I just, there's so many things that I catch myself doing on my phone that I think, what in the world am I doing for anything? You know,
just sitting there, just.
I tell you, you want to really see how much you're spending time on your phone, let a five-year-old tell you you need to get off of it. Because Christian, a lot of times, we'll be sitting there watching TV, and I'll have my phone out, and he'll say, Dad, can you please put your phone away for a few minutes? And it's like, oh, geez.
There you go.
A bad son.
But if I have the little one in my life, my nephew, if he ever tells me that I'm too much on my phone, I know I must be buried in it because that boy's on a pad all the time.
Yeah.
Nate got him a set of golf clubs because, you know, Nate works with Swing Pal. So they get all kinds of clubs and he's always having to resize and he found a kid's starter set and gave it to him. So I took him outside. I said, man, let's go outside. Get away from that phone. Yeah. Get away from that iPad.
Yeah.
And it was fun trying to teach him how to swing because that boy was thought he was a samurai. And I was like, be patient.
You know, the funny thing about it is when I tell the kids, any of the three of them, if they're sitting around the house, they're going to be on their iPads or doing something. Now, Reese is real good to try to find instructional videos. She's constantly finding how-to videos and then going and doing the things.
See, that's cool.
And I think that's cool. But one of the things that if I just look around the house and I see three kids sitting on a phone and me sitting there on a phone, a lot of times I'll just put them down and say, let's go outside for a walk. Anytime I say, let's go do something like that, usually they're excited to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they're not interested in doing things outside. It's just we've all kind of started using them as a crutch to
kill time.
To kill time.
Well, it's television for my generation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's the phone for this next generation.
At least the television.
I still find myself television. Oh, let me scroll, see what's on. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Scroll through all the channels. Nothing's on. Just find something, my game.
Go to the doctor's office and everybody's.
That's it. Mm. That's it. Oil change, wherever you go, and there's a group of people.
Yeah, and it's fun. I took my Amber Alert off my phone.
So I didn't know you could do that.
So I don't get the notifications.
Yeah, I didn't think you could do that.
Well, I don't know how I did it, but I did. But it's been a long time ago.
I didn't know how I did it.
A couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, when David was alive, because I was sitting beside David Mangum, Amber Alert came on.
Yeah, everybody's in the whole show.
And everybody was doing, I'm just sitting here, everybody's just, looking at their phone. I thought that was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here. Can you think I had no idea, but everybody else was scrambling for their phone.
Oh, yeah. What's it going on? And it's in another church.
Yep. To me, it's funny because I was watching them, everybody scrambling.
I sure didn't know you could turn it off, though. I'm impressed.
I'd be impressed if you knew how to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it. Now, let me see. I thought, because I don't get Amber Alerts. You send the Amber Alert.
Is that a serious
Amber
question?
Amber Alert.
Or it might be under notifications, Amber. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there might be something you can do on it.
I'm not sure.
I don't think you can get an Amber Alert because you'll be getting Amber Alerts everywhere. Yeah.
Well, we do.
Yeah.
I'm talking about.
I mean, I'll get them for Guilford County or something.
Yeah, but you get them from the state of North Carolina. That's what you do.
This,
please.
I suppose I'm not a very responsible citizen for not reading them and trying to. But when I see Guilford County and it's like, that's 100 miles away. I'm not going to remember the details of this, but.
Yeah, I don't see. Well, there's Amber Alerts, government alerts, Amber Alerts right there.
So you
can turn it off. Public safety alerts, test alerts. What's emergency alerts?
That's the one I probably ought
to. That's probably like tornado warnings and stuff.
No,
like that.
I think it's emergency would be like child.
Or there's like an earthquake in the area or a shooter loose.
Yeah, we have a lot of earthquakes. It'd be hard to keep that one on. You might need that. Don't take that one off.
I won't because the ground starts moving. I know. Yeah.
I don't need my phone to tell me if we have an earthquake. I'm sure it's
something like a shooter or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to take that.
All right. Yeah, so you're right. You can. I didn't know you could turn them off. Learn something every day. I've got it.
I'm expecting
this thing gets to shake it, baby. We're good.
Yes.
My phone is going off.
Well, we're an hour and a half in.
Hey,
you got
anything
else or are we good?
No, I was just
going to cover everything from,
but I could do it next time.
No, I'm saying.
No, it's just, I was just.
Or give us something to think about for next time.
Yeah, give us a teaser for next week.
Well, or a homework assignment, Kenny.
Listen to that. Okay.
For him to either not do or cheat on.
I was teaching Sunday, and we were talking about Moses and Aaron.
Okay. The Levitical priest.
Before this, the children of Israel, and this is a new generation. This is not the old generation.
Yeah. This is almost getting ready to go in.
Well, it's in Numbers 20, where between 19 and 20 is a 38. Your gap.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming, man, we're just here in the desert.
We're ready to go in. That's right.
It goes from 2 years to 38 to 40 years in less than a chapter.
Ain't nothing to report.
Right. We're just hanging out. Y'all guys die.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for you to die.
I hated it had to be the last one because everybody's just sitting there watching when you go to pass away.
Yeah.
So once the last one dies, they can go in.
Caleb's got to be thinking that.
Do what? Yeah.
You, Caleb and Joshua.
Yeah. Can't wait for him to die.
Yeah.
We can go.
Anyway, they were complaining about not having any water again. Yeah. You know, I think that's what a lot of us do. We blame. Well, we complain, then we blame. And that's what they always do. Yeah. We all do that. Adam did that. Complain, blamed. Blamed Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I took out off from this, and I read this as I was writing this, that Moses and Aaron didn't know what to do, did not have any answers. So what did they do? They just fell on their face. They had no answers. And that's a good place to be in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a place that I think we should be in. A lot of times where we just get before the Lord and just tell the Lord, we all know what we're going to do. And that's not a bad place. Actually, that's spiritually, that is a good place.
It's the best place.
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
And then you find, and
Proverbs
I know I've
3,
found
5, and 6.
That's when I'm really seeking God.
Mm-hmm.
Not when I have everything. It's when I'll have nothing to fall on. But yeah.
They not on your own understanding.
Sometimes that's a good one. Love that one.
I mean, that's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 if you really think about it.
Yeah. I hear that one. I hear that one in my head almost nonstop. I told you that's my pre-shot routine when I'm at Sully's. I say that verse, so I hear it all the time. Yep. I tell myself that all the time. I think some of the most powerful words I probably could ever say to God are when you get to those points where you say, "I can't." Once you get to that point where you know, has there been situations and even things lately mm-hmm. that I've been praying at, and it's like I understand that I need to give this to you. I understand that I don't know, have a clue what you're going to do with this. And I have absolutely no idea how to even have faith basically at this point. Like, I don't know how to, it's in one of the gospels, please help my faith.
Yeah.
Somebody prays.
Help my unbelief.
Help my unbelief. Yeah.
Help my
unbelief. Right. I mean, sometimes even getting to the point where you have to admit that even your faith is something that you have to rely on him for, and just saying, I don't know what to do, I think is probably
that's where you're at.
That's where he can do something. Yep. When you don't know what to do is when he can finally do something.
Make it full circle back in John 2, because that is John 2.
Yeah.
That's John 2. That's Mary saying, I don't know what he's going to do or what, but y'all do whatever he's going to say.
Yeah.
And when we get to the end of ourselves, oftentimes that's where we find Jesus taking over and doing something that we never thought possible. The atypical, amazing miracle that, oh, wow, he did turn water to wine. Oh, wow, he turned my circumstances completely around. He changed my life. He changed this. He changed that. But we got to get to the end of ourselves to where I can't fix this.
Yeah.
And that's where Mary was. Mary knew, I can't go out and buy 400 more gallons of wine for this family.
Yeah.
Especially not Bonnie Sue's.
But then here's the question, as we move on through. Why did God tell Moses to assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes? That's the question. You'll find it in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hint.
I think I know.
Well, tell
but
me.
People need to do the searching.
Okay. Why did God tell Moses to assemble the congregation and speak to the rock? Is that the right question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll just homework on it. It's in the Bible, you said.
It's in, at the first 66 books.
One of the first 66 books, perfect. Right.
This should be easier to find.
The first 65. Probably in this election.
As Ben says, I got a machine that can help me research that.
Yeah, and there's I got a little machine right there. I can look it up. But I do advise you to look it up.
What's that?
The answer.
I have the answer.
We don't.
He's talking to the rest of the room, the loving audience. Found it in the Bible.
He's talking to Brandon.
Yeah.
Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon.
Leave it there. See y'all.
All right. Let's get
a little McKinney in the shop this week.
Yes.
You.
We need it.
You.
In our life.
Before that, thinking about it, I'll forget.
I'll start again on us. So you don't get to just start with your
baptism.
My boys bought me a ZZ Top. They bought me tickets for Father's Day, and they went. So I had Nate and Daniel with me. And we walked in, and Daniel said, "Dad, this looks like senior adult day at the fair meets a motorcycle gang." I've always been a closet parrot head. This music's great, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
Man, it's getting into a little pattern of habits here. Chick-fil-A and Matthew's
salad. This segment is sponsored by Chick-fil-A and it's Cobb salad.
When was the last time you watched wrestling?
Thursday.
Wednesday night. Wednesday night. I still think we need to take this show on the road and do a special podcast from standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. Such a fine sight to see.